swear unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. I titled this message, Don't Sell Out. Don't sell out. When the twins Jacob and Esau were born, Esau came first, technically making him the firstborn. As the firstborn son, Esau automatically held the birthright, a birthright which was an honor given to the firstborn, bestowing head of household status and the right to inherit his father's estate. The son with the birthright would receive a double portion of whatsoever was passed down. Later, Esau sold his birthright, giving it up for a meal because he was hungry. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. When the time came for Isaac to bless his son, Jacob deceived his father into giving him Esau's blessing instead. A blessing could be given regardless of birthright. However, a greater blessing was given to the one who held the birthright. After Jacob's deception, Esau complained that he took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing. Esau begged his father for some type of blessing to be given to him, and he did receive a secondary, inferior blessing. Are you willing to give up what God has given you? So many times we can find ourselves going back on what we have known and held to be true. Just like Esau, we can find ourselves giving up what Christ has given us, salvation. How can we give up salvation? By sin. The Bible tells us in James 4, verse 17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you are willing to disobey God and his word, you are in sin. And this is something as a young teenager in my years, you know, we face things in this world, and between the music that we grew up on and as you kind of get older in your teenage years and you kind of get a little bit more rebellious, and I'm sure many of us have been in that stage in our life where we didn't respect the authority over us. And, you know, as a teenager growing up, I remember I did hit a part in my phase in my life. And, you know, the Lord still has to help me where I have to bring my own thoughts under subjection to those that are in authority over me. But, you know, as a young teenager, you know, when I was starting to kind of debate on whether this was worth it or not, you know, I could find myself, and as I look back onto my past, you know, I look in areas in my life where things started to change. Things started to slip. I started to let things slide a little bit. Whether it be the music I listen to, and that is one thing that is a trap. The devil uses music as a trap. And I have been in that trap. The beat and rhythm of music, and I haven't went deep into study on that. But the fact that it releases things in your brain that makes you feel energetic. It gives you energy. But what are you putting that energy towards? And it could cause you to go astray. And the devil uses music to lead you astray. And I have been in that point in my life where I listened to music I wasn't supposed to. And you know, the Lord had to kind of get a hold of me in that area. And I didn't want to let go because I had found myself an addiction. And so what I find myself is I begin to sell out. I begin to sell my salvation. In John 18, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll be skipping down to 12 and verses 13, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priest and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And in verses 12 and 13 it says, The band and the captain of officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Ananias first. For he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But some people trade him for a moment of pleasure, relationships, money, a moment of anger, own wants, their own will. What will you trade him for? How much is he worth to you? How much is the Savior worth to you? How much is he worth to you? Are you willing to give up your salvation for your own wants and desires? As we read, we see Jesus' own people betrayed him. John 12 and 12 through 18, it says, On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. There these things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him up from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they that had heard that he had done this miracle. As we read in that, you think that the story is going really good. You know, the people are acknowledging that Jesus is the king. But as you read down in verses 19, 1 through 7, Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scorned him. And the soldier planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And he said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. The story kind of changes here a little bit. It went from Hosanna to crucify him. So many times, if we're not careful and we begin to sell out on things, and you can sell out on a lot of things. You can let your Bible reading go, your personal devotions and prayer time. If you start selling out for different things, you could go from Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, to crucify him, crucify him. And it may not seem like it happens all in a just at once, but if you continue to let the sin drive you in the direction that it is taking you, then you could be the one saying, crucify him, crucify him. They had renounced Christ. The definition of renounce is to formally declare one's abandonment, to reject, to refuse. If we refuse the truth and we reject what God is asking of us, then we are renouncing Christ. Verses John 19 and verses 14 and 15, it says, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and in about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. What were they doing? They were renouncing Christ, God's son. They renounced him. If we're not careful and we begin to sell out in areas in our life that God is asking us to build up. You know, if you've been in church any amount of time and if you pray and read your Bible, there's areas that you find that you're weak in. And the Holy Ghost, if you have the Holy Ghost, will check you in them areas. But if you constantly just kind of shrug off what he's saying, if you're not careful, you'll begin to sell out to it. You'll begin to sell it for something that is not worth anything in the end. Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. What good did 30 pieces of silver do Judas? For a moment of pleasure, a moment of just doing his own will. But in the end, what did it cost him? It cost him his life. John 18, verses 10. We're going to read 17 and then verses 25 through 27. And it says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said the Malchus. Simon Peter had walked with the Lord. He was willing to fight for Christ. Right then and there. Right then and there. He was ready to take action. And he did take action. He did take action. But if you read verses 17, it says, then the damsels that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of his men's disciples? He saith, I am not. He went from taking action to cowardly hiding. And in verses 25 it said, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not also thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. In verses 26 we see one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? In verses 27 it said, Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Peter walked with Jesus. Peter watched Jesus do miracle after miracle, and Peter still denied Jesus when the pressure was on. This world is pressuring us. As a child of God, we have a lot of pressure on us. We have many eyes watching us. There is people that their whole goal is to see church people fail in areas. They make it their goal, and they love to put the pressure on. But are you going to deny Christ when the pressure is on? Or are you going to stand tall and strong and with a heart of courage saying, yes, yes, I follow Jesus. Yes, I am a child of the King because I love Him. He died for me, and I am not willing to renounce Him. But as we read on, Peter didn't stay in this cycle. He didn't stay in defeat. He didn't stay down. As we read about Judas, Judas ended his life. Judas thought his sin was so great that life was just not worth living after that. The guilt got to him. But Peter didn't stay in the same pit that Peter had put himself in. Peter got up. Peter didn't stay in sin. He didn't stay in defeat, just as we don't have to stay in defeat. God used Peter in great ways. He can use you. He can use you. When we commit sin before God, we don't have to stay in defeat. When we sell out Jesus, we begin to sell out Jesus. We don't have to stay that way. Jesus died on a cross to forgive us of our sins because He loved us. He cared for us so much that He was willing to be literally tortured, beaten, bruised, so that we might receive salvation. We don't have to stay in defeat. So many times we can easily find ourselves saying that we're not worthy for God to forgive us. We're not worthy for Jesus to forgive us after we have just committed this great sin before Him. And we start to get in that mindset, well, we don't deserve Him, so I might as well just sell out. And when you sell out like that completely and you begin to harden your heart towards God, it is a lot harder to get back to what you once were. That place where you once was, it is so much harder to get back to that place when you allow yourself to just give up on God. Because if you're not careful, that will lead you straight into hell. It will. When you begin to sell out God and you begin to harden your heart towards God and just say, well, it's not worth it. I can't overcome. Christ said He overcome the world. He gave us a Holy Ghost. He sent the Comforter that we may be filled. The Comforter will lead and guide us. If you are a child of God and you're seeking for the Holy Ghost and you haven't received the Holy Ghost, I encourage you to continue to seek and seek and seek until you receive. Don't be content on just, and I wrote this down during our encounter night, and I encourage people, if you have not made a service of encounter night, just come and watch. Just come and watch. Be a part. Because God is moving. God has moved in mighty ways. He has moved in my life in mighty ways right there. God has done great things in my life. But don't be content on just sitting close to the fire. Don't be content on just being a little warmed by the fire, but be consumed by the fire. Be consumed by the Holy Ghost. Let Him lead you and guide you. How long has it been since we've had people dancing in His presence and hours of just speaking in tongues and running around the sanctuary? Things that used to be common are called not common anymore because we don't see it happening in the church world. What are we selling out? What is taking its place in our lives? God deserves our praise. God deserves our all. And if I can have a piano player, and if everybody would stand with me tonight. Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. Nay, in all these things, we are made more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors. Christ has made us more than conquerors. And if you are struggling with something here tonight, God is wanting to help you. You can overcome. You can be a conqueror. For I am persuaded. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. God has done too much for me. If you've been in this any amount of time, God has done too much for you. Whether it be 1 minute or 40 plus years, God has done too much for you. He died, He paid the ultimate sacrifice that you may overcome and that you may be saved. He loves you, He cares for you, and He wants nothing but the best for you. And He wants you to follow His will because He has a will for your life if you are willing to pick it up, to drop everything that you have. Every desire, every dream, you lay it all aside and you give it to the Master. Because His will is greater than our own. He wants you. He cares for you and He loves you. He wants to see you overflow. He wants to see you flourish. As a child of God, so many things come against us, and we are faced with things in this world that sometimes are just out of our control, and it just don't seem fair, and we don't understand. But God said He will never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you. He's not going to go anywhere. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a never-changing God. He can't change His mind. He won't change His mind. And He wants you. Come around these altars. Let's have a time of prayer. Let God do something great in your life. Let Him move upon you in ways that you haven't felt in a long time. Let Him speak to you. Let Him have His way.